So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So writes the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 6. And we're reading, of course, today verse 6 to 19 and looking at these verses. I wonder what's your passion? What motivates you to get up on a Monday morning? Well, there are many forces and many powers that have a hand on the controls of our life. There are social forces and economic forces, political pressures, cultural traditions, family heritage. All these different forces and more point us in a certain direction and give us a hard shove, or they grab on and hold us back from moving in a certain way. All of these things are powers influencing our life and our lives. Perhaps the need to pay off your credit card bill forces you to do certain things. It has a power in your life. Or the need to help care for your family, perhaps grandchildren or great-grandchildren. That has a power in your life. Social forces dictating much of what fills our airwaves and our television screens, messages that draw many of us to suck them in at night, night after night. It's a power shaping our lives, our opinions, our attitudes, our words and actions. And Christian Reformed cultural tradition has perhaps had some of you reaching for a peppermint the moment I began to speak. Small, but an illustration of power at work in your lives, directing your actions. Colossians 2 and verse 8 points to them when it speaks of philosophy and empty deceit, human traditions and the elemental spirits of the universe. Paul writes, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Now, by philosophy, it means a love of wisdom. The view that learning and education, research and insight is a key to human happiness and human achievement. As we educate, society will progress. So goes the mantra. And human tradition, well, that's fairly straightforward. Communities and families have cultures and expectations, and these things affect our patterns of behavior in a great way. And the basic principles of this world is the NIV translation of a rather vague Greek phrase that can either refer to science as they understood it and the exploration of the elemental building blocks of life, learning about them, controlling them, and through that trying to make life better. Or the phrase can refer to the whole world of spirit beings and forces, powers that are at work throughout the globe, some in one area, some in others, shadowy figures, forces that can enter and even dominate human life. The term's vague. It can carry either one of these meanings. Perhaps Paul uses it to mean both. All these forces, these powers, these influences in our lives, well, they often have a measure of truth in them, don't they? There's something good that can be said about many of them. They're not generally all bad. You don't have to avoid them or throw them all away. But they're not fully satisfying either. They cannot make your life rich or full or complete. For that, we turn to the one we proclaim today as sovereign over all universal forces and powers and structures and systems, God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And here in Colossians 2 and verse 9, Paul says that Jesus Christ has the absolute fullness of God dwelling in him. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Jesus is the full and real connection between heaven and earth, between the Creator and the creation, between God and us. Fullness in your life. Satisfaction, peace, meaning. Ultimately, these things come from Jesus and no one else and nowhere else. Jesus alone connects you to your deepest origins. Jesus alone brings you home. Jesus alone gives you peace. There's been an awful lot of programs on television recently about people researching their family history and discovering amazing things or some sad things about their ancestors. And there is that interesting force in many of us, that inner drive that seeks us to find these things out, especially, I think, in the lives of adopted children. As loving and supporting, as supportive, as affirming, as wonderful as their adoptive homes may be, often they get restless as they grow towards adulthood. And it doesn't matter how much money they have, it doesn't matter the social circles in which they move, or what their education level is. Over and over again, it seems that adopted people begin to feel an urge to find their biological parents. Not everyone, but many. They want to know where they come from. They want to connect with their roots. And they're restless until they find it. Often that's the case. And on a bigger scale, all of us as human beings encounter that sort of restlessness somewhere along our life's journey. We may not even begin to describe it. What it comes down to, though, is this. We want to know where we've come from. We want to connect with our deepest roots. And Jesus, the connecting point between the Creator and the creation, the one in whom dwells all the fullness of God in bodily form, Jesus gives us that connection. He connects us to the one who gave us life. He connects us to our Father in heaven, to whom we pray. He connects us to the family of God, the church. And in that connection, Jesus gives us peace. This past week, on behalf of Scripture Union, I visited a couple of holiday club teams. And I was talking with the team members about why they were on the particular team and how they came to faith in Jesus Christ. And again, their story goes something like this. Many of them said, "Oh, I was feeling kind of empty inside. There was an empty spot in my life. I was restless. I was looking for something, but I couldn't really see what it was until I came to the church I belonged to, or until I came along to Holiday Club, or until I went to Youth Fellowship. And I discovered a relationship with Jesus. And that filled that emptiness. It filled that spot. And my restlessness went away." Many of the folks I spoke to this week said that same kind of story. Jesus is the connecting point between the Creator and his creation. Verse 10, "You have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." Well, Colossians 2 goes on then to spend a great deal of time talking about circumcision, verse 11 and following. "In him you were also circumcised in putting off the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done with the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ." And Paul goes on. And perhaps you wonder why there's so much emphasis on circumcision. And the answer was that circumcision was, for ancient believers in God, the symbol of their membership of God's family. It was a sign that you belonged to God. You were one of his chosen ones. You mattered to him. Circumcision was a ritual that involved blood, and blood is one of the most basic symbols of life. Life depends on blood. And circumcision also involved a reproductive organ of the body, symbolizing where life came from. Circumcision said, your life depends on God. Your life was given to you by God. You exist because of and for God alone. Your life from beginning to end is God's. Well, we know that circumcision was just an ancient temporary symbol, one that pointed forward to Jesus, because Jesus fulfills circumcision. He whose lifeblood was shed on the cross becomes the one on whom our life depends. In him we find life. In him we can continue in life, eternally continue. In him our life connects to God. Yes, there remains a symbolic ritual that we apply to our bodies. It is, says verse 12, baptism, the ritual of baptism. Water that points to the lifeblood of Jesus. The water touches us. In some denominations, the water completely goes over us as a symbol of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus going over us. And then in verse 13 and 14, Paul tells us that anything which stood against us, any barrier which existed between us and heaven, any accusation which might threaten to have us expelled from the family of God, anything which may lead us down the road to eternal death, is overpowered. It's taken away by this same Jesus. Death itself is taken away by Jesus and replaced with life. I wonder if you've ever thought about how to define death. We think of it perhaps as separation. And when we hear of the death of a marriage, it means a man and a woman are separated from each other. The relationship that joined them is shattered. And when a body dies, it means that the soul is separated from the body. Death is separation. The ultimate death, of course, is separation from God. That is a death that is eternal, ultimate, horrible. But on the other hand, ultimate life, eternal life, spectacularly beautiful life, is when we are not separated from God. It's when we are connected to God. And that ultimate life comes only through God's Son, Jesus Christ. So stick with Jesus. Don't go hunting for satisfaction and peace in your life anywhere else, because you won't find it anywhere else. Jesus is the supreme power over all the forces and powers and influences that come to bear on our human life. Verse 10, Jesus is the head over every ruler and authority. Paul says, you've been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. There's no one greater than him. There's no force more powerful than Jesus. We know that Jesus faced human persecution and power. He experienced human suffering. He underwent the ultimate of human bodily death. He saw the inside of a grave. He did that to win for himself ultimate universal power, to be the universal king. Jesus paid the king's ransom, his life. And Jesus won the king's power. Everyone else in history has died. Karl Marx died. Sigmund Freud died. Albert Einstein died. Napoleon Bonaparte died. All these great, powerful, influential thinkers and leaders became relegated to the textbooks of history. They remained dead. But the Bible tells us Jesus came out of the grave. Not even death, the greatest power on earth, could hold Jesus. Jesus is alive because Jesus is life. The British Empire and colonialism died. The communist bloc died. And one day, probably Western capitalism will die as well. But Jesus is alive. Your life is headed relentlessly down a dead-end road unless you are headed to Jesus. You're as good as dead already now without Jesus in your life, because Jesus is alive. Jesus is life. And in Jesus, you and I can find fullness. You didn't catch that in this passage? Skip past it. It's there in verse 10. You have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. There's no force, no idea, no person greater than Jesus. There's no religion, no nation, no organization greater than Jesus. He is head and shoulders above them all. Above all economic powers, above all political powers, above all racial powers, above all social powers, all of them inferior to Jesus. And we need to treat them that way. Because God's word tells us to surrender our lives to Him, to submit to baptism in His Spirit, and then to live out that baptism, that identification with Jesus, to go and live as the person that you now really are, a child of God, a person with a guaranteed welcome in God's home, a person with a place in God's eternal plan. You are an eternally significant person. So live your life as a response of thanksgiving to the one who paid the king's ransom to win fullness for you. There are all sorts of impressive things. Science is impressive, but if you work as a scientist, remember that the one who stands over science and asks you to devote your experimenting and testing and developing to him is the King of life, Jesus Christ. And economics are important, but if you're involved in budget setting and the flow of wealth from one point to another, remember that the one who stands over all of creation and all of creation's resources, including wealth, is the King of 1,000 hills, Jesus Christ. And politics and the control of interactions between people groups is significant, but let's not be overawed by it. For over that power stands a greater power, the life power of Christ. Entertainment and the whole sphere of play adds a rich component to our human lives, but it's only a temporary richness. Over the realm of entertainment is its head, King Jesus. And so off you go and off I go. Off we go to Monday morning to get involved in education and politics and entertainment and economics and social interactions and who knows what else. Off we go. Get involved in these areas. Seek to handle them well. Seek to contribute. Don't let them get the better of you. Don't live in awe of them. Don't let them dominate you. Leave that for Jesus. And pray. Pray actively. Pray vigorously. Pray daily for the presence of Jesus to dominate you, to drive you, to direct you. Make that your motivation. Make that your passion. And trust me and trust Paul when he says that if we do, we will find through that peace. Let's pray.